All right. Good morning. Everybody doing all right? Let's give it up for our worship team. You know, these guys really do a phenomenal job week in and week out. And it's just super encouraging that, you know, we get to have such an incredible and dynamic worship team. Again, if you're visiting with us, thank you for being here in East County.
Yeah.
Got some good news. I want you to meet the new addition to the family. Kehlani Alicia Joseph was born yesterday at St. Barnabas Hospital. 6 pounds, 8 ounces. Mama and daughter are doing well. That's Sanders Joseph. They had the daddy's little girl. And, you know, I just want to, again, reiterate, Daryl shared about the career night. And, you know, just to have the incredible resources, and sometimes we don't even know who we're sitting next to in the fellowship. Being around for some time, you get to know people. You get to know who does what. And so you hear different needs. And, you know, I feel like a traffic director saying, you need to go over there. You need to talk to this one. And it's great to see people getting needs met. But it's even more encouraging to see our professionals, to see our business owners, to see disciples using their gifts and then helping inspire the next generation. You can do this. You can be that and still be a disciple. You know, today's message is entitled Chosen by Grace. And I'm really excited the next today and next Sunday. This is kind of a two-part series. Now, it may turn into 8 parts because I do think we need to talk a whole lot more about grace. And, you know, when you think about grace, it's kind of funny. You tend to think about food. And it's something that you do before you eat. And that's great. But it's a little bit deeper than that. So I want to ask you to turn your Bibles, and we'll get there in a minute, to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to go back to the beginning because one of the things that I'm learning is God does not change. And one of the things that we can sometimes think is, you know, we got a kind of distorted perspective of God. And we look at him in the New Testament and he's all lovey-dovey, but then we look at the Old Testament and we say, well, he did this and he annihilated these people. But, you know, God is gracious. And that's who he is. That is his character. And so let's pray together and then we're going to jump right into the word. Father, thank you again that we have this opportunity to come before you to pray, that we can open up your word and be inspired by who you are. I pray that this morning we leave with a deeper understanding that we have been chosen by grace. And Father, that you are a gracious God, you are good, you're God that loves unconditionally. And that your love endures forever. Help us to continue to grasp that and get it deep down in our hearts. And Father, not only do we get it, but help us pass that on to our children, to our grandchildren, to those around us. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. You know, in the beginning, Adam and Eve had it really, really good. They had food. They had one another. They had jobs. Everything was awesome. There was a bunch of yes trees all around them. You can eat that. You can do this. You can do that. And they had one tree. One no tree. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't do that. Just one. And they ended up breaking the one rule. It's interesting. You read that story, God is not fired up about that. He comes on in and he says, Adam, you know, where are you? As if God didn't know he was hiding over there under that bush, trying to hide from the Lord. But he asked that question because he wanted Adam to stop and say, yeah, where are you? Why are you hiding? And so Adam comes out. God talks to him. Adam says, well, it's really not my fault. It's this woman that you put in here. It's her fault. And then she turns around and she blames the snake. It's his fault. And there's all of this blame shifting going around. And so God said, okay, everybody out of the pool. You got to move. But when he sent them out, the Bible says he gave them clothing and he provided for them. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, so sin happens and then we see, you know, the downward spiral. By the time we get to Genesis 6, the Bible says the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. It has gotten bad. And so we know the rest of the story. God decides to flood the earth, destroys everything, and he starts over with a guy named Noah and his family. Things were in an epic mess, and God had to deal with that. This is my backyard. In 2017, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was this one day, there was this like windstorm that just came out of nowhere. Now, I say it's a mess, but it's also a blessing from the Lord because I had a tree fall one, you know, in the backyard, but this branch, I was praying for it to fall. In fact, when it fell exactly where I needed it to fall. But as you see, that is a mess. And you know what messes? All you can do is pick a place to start. So I went to Home Depot and I rented a chainsaw, and a brother went to work. Cut down each little part. And the reason I did that was because the guy told me, hey, I can take care of that. And I said, yeah, how much? He said, $1,500. I said, thank you very much. I'll do it for $100 and I'll lose a few pounds in the process. But you know, God had a mess on his hands. He had to make a choice. And he chose to extend grace to a fallen world where he could begin to redeem the world. And the Bible teaches us that he began with Abram. God would begin with a nation to save the world. And that nation came from an individual. This wasn't the quickest route to nation building. Establishing a covenant with one man of his choosing, whose offspring would multiply and in time become a nation. This way, every member of this nation would become an heir to the covenant that God established with his or her ancestors. That they would all be sons and daughters of a new covenant. And so God started with Abram, ordinary, unknown member of an idol-worshipping society. And you know, Abram wasn't just anybody. Abram was an old dude. He was 75. And to complicate things more, his wife had given him no children. She was barren. Not the most ideal couple to start a nation. But this is where God began to clean up the mess that sin had made. You know, in Genesis chapter 12, we read in verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be a blessing through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he had set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions he had accumulated, and the people that he had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. God made a threefold promise to Abram. He says, I will make you a great nation. He says, I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. He says, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. And then he says, all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. When God initiated his relationship with Abram, it began with a promise. A promise that Abram did not deserve or ask for. This was all God's idea. The Lord did not issue a set of behaviors to adhere to. The Ten Commandments wouldn't come along for many, many years. He simply asked Abraham to receive and trust his promises. This invite for Abram to trust him is how God initiated this relationship. And that is how God has been initiating relationships ever since. God asked Abram to follow him to this new land. And through time, Abram amassed great wealth. Abram amassed stability. And Abram, he was a nomad. God said, okay, pick up the tents. It's time to go over here. And then they picked it up and they left. Genesis chapter 15. Time goes by. Verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. God says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside. This is what I love about God. He took him outside. Look what he says. Look up at the star, at the sky, and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And I want to stop right there. God did a word picture. He said, come on, Abram, come here. I want to show you something. Now, look up there. You see all of those stars? That's going to be what your family's going to look like. That's how many family members, descendants, are going to come from you. What are you talking about? I'm almost 80-something years old. My wife is barren. How's that going to happen? Is what he thought. But you know what he decided? He decided to believe what God said. I can't see it. My wife is 80-something. But because you said it, I'm going to trust it. And the Bible says God credited him with righteousness. See, Abram placed his trust in God, in God's character, in God's integrity. He believed the Lord was going to follow through on what he said. Abram trusted God's power to accomplish the impossible. Because I don't see anything going on here. And it says in response to Abram's faith, God declared him righteous. God basically said, because you decided to trust in me, I'm going to give you the gift of righteousness. I've written on your forehead across your life, forgiven. Because you decided to believe what I said. You know, this is important for us to understand. You know why? A righteous standing with God comes through faith. Not obedience and adherence to the rules. But it's faith in what God says. God called Abram to trust him, and despite his sin, his faithlessness, his concern, Abram found peace with God through faith. And as soon as Abram believed in God, the Lord cemented. He took this covenant and he said, it's done. But here's something, church. It was a one-sided contract. It had nothing to do with Abram doing something. God was making a promise to him, and what he was deciding to do was accept it and believe it. Now, in that time, there was a ceremony that happened. If you keep reading through Genesis 13, again, we don't have time to do that. But it was, what would happen is when a sovereign king would come into a land and decide to ally with another king, they would go through a ceremony. And if you read through that chapter, he cuts up these animals and, you know, he does this little ritual. And basically what that was saying is, I am establishing a covenant with you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. And God was doing that for Abram. And Abram was given this right relationship with God. But you know, it's amazing. Time has a way of wearing us down. And as the years went on, they did not see things happening. So in Genesis chapter 16, verse 2, you can jot these down. Again, I don't have a lot of time to go through it, but you can look at this for a moment. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 2, it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. So she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarah said. Verse 4 and 5, he slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms and now she knows she's pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. What is going on? Now, apparently this was something that happened back in the day. But what happened here is Sarai took matters into her own hands. Okay. Well, God didn't actually say it would be Sarai who would bear me children. And so they take matters into their own hands. And they suffered the consequences of that decision. Sarah blamed Abraham, even though it was her idea. Then she mistreated Hagar. Let me tell you something. It's what I love about the Bible. God sees everything. And you know what? He saw the mistreatment of Hagar. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I came to you. I'm going to take care. And she took care. And he took care of her. Because God sees everything. Church, God sees everything. Everything. And he took care of Hagar. And he took care of those that were mistreated. We need to not forget that. But this is the bigger thing. This is God's chosen people. This couple who has a little dysfunction going on here. And it gets a little worse. Let's keep reading. Actually, go back to Genesis chapter 12. Let's read this together. Verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. He was about to enter Egypt, and he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. And again, you read this. What is going on? Abram got afraid, and then his fear led him to tell his wife to, okay, you see, say you're my sister, so they won't kill me. And she agreed. And so here they go into Egypt. And he's so concerned about himself that he decided to lie. But that's not the worst part. He's going to give his wife to another man. Wow. You know, church, this actually happened twice. Abram did that twice. Genesis 18. Are you with me? Yes. Genesis 18, verse 10. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abram and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. Chosen by God. Church, we need to get this. When God chooses you, it's not based on your performance. It's not based on your consistency. It's not based on your knowledge and your experiences. It's not based on anything but the fact that He is gracious and chose you and chose me. In spite of our disobedience. You know, it's sad. And boy, I've been on this roller coaster of questioning my salvation because of my obedience or my lack of obedience. But let me show you something. It's really bad. I don't want to exaggerate. You know, this is a picture of my Uncle Roy, actually giving the peace sign. This is 6 days before he would die and go to be with the Lord. That day, we baptized Uncle Roy into Christ. And I remember my dad called me that morning. I go, we get the baptistry, we drive it all the way down to the rehab center that he was in. We take it, put it in there, fill it up with water. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, this is actually going to happen. But I don't believe it. And so the room is filled with family members. And, you know, my uncle's nickname is Brother Buck because he liked Dick Buckus. So they called him Buck. And he thought from his bed right there, he would just step down into the baptistry and we baptize him. He was too weak. So we all grabbed the cloths around him and we lifted him all up and we baptized him. I had the video, but my computer's jacked up, so I couldn't show you that. Maybe another time. The point was this. If you look at the video, his left knee didn't make it all the way down. Now, I'm kidding. Is that a reason to question his salvation? Is that a reason to think, oh my gosh, his whole body was not immersed, and baptism is immersion by this? And you go into this thinking about what's right and what. He's chosen by God. What you and I have to keep dealing with is we got to believe that. There's many times I watch this TV show called Blackish. And Lawrence Fishburne, I love him, right? But there's this one episode, and my kids know I watch it probably every week just to laugh. Because there's a part in that episode where he's saying something, and it's not the most appropriate thing to say, but he reminds me of my uncle. Now, it's not good that he's reminding me of my uncle and he's saying something inappropriate. But the reality is, Brother Buck made it. And I could actually doubt sometimes. Because I'm like, well, he didn't really do this. He didn't really do that. He didn't really change. And you know what I'm saying? And you go through these things that you think has to happen according to what you've read in the Bible, instead of trusting what God says. Chosen by grace. You are chosen. Do not doubt that. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Royalty, holy, special possession, called out of darkness, a people of God. You've received mercy. Believe these promises and declare God's praises. Because that's who you are. Chosen. And you know, because you're chosen, it should cause you to extend grace. Romans chapter 4, we're going to wrap this up. Are you with me, church? Romans 4, verse 13. Let's read it. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Here, 100-some years later, one of Abraham's descendants gets into a debate with some of Abraham's other descendants over this question. How does one get in a right relationship with God? Some had said and appealed to the law of Moses as to the standard of how you get into a right relationship with God. Just follow the rules. Just do what it says. But the Apostle Paul, he went back further in history. And he pointed to Abraham. It was not through law that Abraham and his descendants received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. You know, church, Abraham died at the age of 175. By that time, Isaac had fathered two sons of his own, but Abraham, his name hadn't become great. The families of the earth hadn't been blessed through him, and he hadn't taken full possession of the land he was promised. But in time, through his descendants, it would all come to pass. But not because of anything amazing about Abraham's on his part, but because God made a promise that Abraham believed. And with that, the cleanup had begun. The mess sin had created was being addressed. God's plan of redemption was unfolding. And you know what the common theme of the story was? Grace. Because of grace, God chose Abraham. Because of grace, God declared him righteous. Because of grace, God provided and protected Abraham and his family even when they disobeyed. Now, I'm not telling you, oh, well, I can just disobey because I got grace. Read Romans 6. Okay? You didn't get it if you think that way. It was God's grace to bless Abraham and Sarah with a son. And it was God's grace that moved him to see this through to completion. In Abraham, God established relational groundwork for mankind. A right standing with God comes through faith in his promises. You know, it's funny, it was 100 years later before God gave the nation of Israel the Ten Commandments. But God had already given Abraham the gift of righteousness. His message was clear and simple. The solution to sin was not rule keeping. That's not the solution. Instead, he initiated a relationship. He asked an undeserving man to trust him. And when that man did, God gave him what he needed most and deserved the least. Friendship with an amazing God. What's even more amazing is that that offer of friendship would eventually extend to all in this world. This offer would be made on the same terms. You know what God's terms are? Trust me. I want to give you an illustration.
Olivia, come to me. Come jump to Uncle Russ.
Come here, Olivia.
Olivia, come.
Let's give it up for Olivia. Church. I'm going a little long here, but bear with me. We live in a world where sin reigns. And you know what? People from every culture, it doesn't matter where you live, it reigns, and we know it. We know it. We fall short of the glory of God. If bad behavior puts us at odds with God, then good behavior should fix things, right? No, but that's our natural tendency. Our tendency is to think to do something in order to regain God's favor and approval. But when one true God initiated his relationship with man, it didn't begin with a command. It began with an invitation. Will you trust me? The only way to clean up a mess is to pick a spot and begin. God began with an ordinary man. He offered that man what everybody needs most, peace with God. And making that offer, God offered hope to the human race. By embracing the faith of Abraham, mankind could be reconciled to God. With Abraham, the story of reconciliation began. It's a story of forgiveness. It's a story of redemption. His story eventually became our story. Your story, my story. You know, on November 17th, we are going to do something that we hadn't done in a very long time. Now, I know it says preteen, young teen camp 2007, but that's not, I didn't have time to fix it. Just keeping it real. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a service. We're going to have what we call teacher appreciation. And what I mean by teacher appreciation, those of us that are teachers, those of us that are mentors, those of us that are life coaches, those of us that might be coaches, people in your life that you appreciate because they've taught you something, we're inviting them to come to our service on November 17th, and we're going to appreciate them. And they're going to join in to an amazing service that we're going to have. Because, again, we want to extend grace that God's given us. You know, as that picture in my backyard, it took some time, but eventually got cleaned up. It's something good about cleaning up the mess. You know, God cleaned up our messes, and he continues to do that each and every day. Who do you need to extend grace to the way God has extended it to you? Who here wants peace with God? You want to learn God's plan of salvation? Come to him as you are. You, my church, you, my friends, you've been chosen. Therefore, let's extend God's grace and let's not forget that our God is a gracious God. To God be the glory. Amen.